Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take normally two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
In this triple threat episode, we're covering off The Haunted Mansion from 2003, Muppets Haunted Mansion from 2021, and Haunted Mansion from 2023.
Yeah, we planned this episode a couple of years ago when the Muppets Haunted Mansion came out, and it was supposed to be two versions of Haunted Mansion, and then since we planned it, they released another Haunted Mansion. And since it was a fun episode anyway, we decided, let's just do all three.
Yeah. The only other time we've done multiple movies was The Abyss.
No, we also did it for the Avatar episode.
Oh, that's right, because we watched Dances with Wolves.
And Pocahontas, and Fern Gully, and Avatar.
Okay, so this is the third episode.
There will be at least one more. There's a couple of remakes episodes where we're going to discuss more than one remake in the episode.
Yeah.
So while we normally take two movies at the same plot or premise, we will occasionally do more than two.
Now, for those who haven't seen either of the three of these movies. Or either of them. You could have watched one of them. As always, massive spoilers. And if you haven't seen the 2023 one, which I actually thoroughly enjoyed and was actually a good movie.
Yeah.
No shade thrown towards the Muppets. I would highly recommend watching it. And
don't necessarily recommend watching the other two, I assume.
No. Spoilers, and you've been warned.
These movies, two of them are PG, and the most recent one is PG-13, so we will try to keep our language PG-13, in case there's any kids listening to this. For people who haven't listened to us much before, when we do episodes where the movies are aimed at or suitable for children, we try to keep the episode suitable for children.
Except all the time Lisa swears.
I don't think I've done that.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So I had not seen the.
You hadn't seen any of these.
Yes, I had.
What one had you seen?
I'd seen the Eddie Murphy one.
Oh, you told me you hadn't. I'd only seen the Eddie Murphy one.
Yeah.
You told me you'd never seen it.
Okay. At the time, I didn't remember seeing it, but then I rewatched it, and then I was like, "Oh no, I have seen this."
Right. Okay.
Not funny. Moving on. The Muppets one has Muppets in it. Yep. And the third one was great. That's all my thoughts. join our Discord.
I'm really interested because obviously I have been to many different Disney theme parks over many years.
And I have not.
And you have not. So I'm very familiar with the ride. And not only am I familiar with the ride, I'm familiar with three different versions of the ride, because I've been to Euro Disney, which is not what it's called anymore, Disneyland Paris a few times. I've been to Walt Disney World in Florida, and I've been to Disneyland California, and they all have different versions of this ride.
Which ride was more close to which movie?
So the plot that of the Eddie Murphy movie is taken from the Disneyland Paris ride.
Right.
But that's primarily because it's the only one of the rides that has, like, anything resembling a plot happening in it.
Right.
Which is where you have this story of the guy whose bride died and then he got so upset. These movies are PG and it happens in the movie, so he gets so upset that he takes his own life. And then the whole house becomes haunted. And that's kind of essentially the plot of the ride in Paris. Whereas the other ones are just like, there's just some ghosts hanging out. I think all three of them. It's not as clear, I think, in the Muppet one, but certainly the other two base their design of the mansion on the California mansion, because that is supposed to, the one in California is in their, like, New Orleans section of Main Street USA, well, not Main Street USA, but of, like, the USA section of Disney. It's the theme parks are weird.
Okay. what kind of rides are they for people who may have not gone there?
So like myself, I think I think the Muppets movie did this very well. The queue for the ride is almost more fun than the ride itself. So the queuing experience is that you first of all queue up through a graveyard where all the gravestones have like little jokes and puns on them about how the people died. And then you get into the house and you queue through these like hallways and then get into this room with no windows or doors, but it's got these portraits or these paintings on the wall. And then the walls, it's supposed to be like you're in an elevator, but the walls stretch and the paintings become more and more ominous, which they included those at least in the Muppet one and the 2023 one.
Yeah.
I don't think those were in the Eddie Murphy one, the stretching portraits.
I have a question based around linear time travel and 3D spaces.
Okay.
How do you get into a room with no doors?
Oh, no, yeah, you go in and then they close the door behind you, but it's like, looks like it's part of the wall.
Right.
Yeah, so they shepherd you all into it and then they close it, they seal it off. It's like, you know, they do it very well in the 2023 movie where the ghost makes the doors disappear.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it stretches and you start to see that everything that looked like these people having a happy day, they're all actually moments from death. And then eventually the wall on the opposite side opens and you go out and you queue a little bit through this spooky mansion. And then you get on the ride, which is just this, you just sit on these like weird chairs, basically, and then go on a track through the house. And it's all using like Pepper's Ghost technique type things where, you know, there's obviously mirrors and projectors making it look like there's actual like ghost floating around. It's pretty cool. But it's literally just like you go through a house and see ghosts dancing in the ballroom and whatever, and then you go outside of it and there's the singing busts singing the song, and there's ghosts out in the graveyard and stuff. And then you see yourself in the mirror and there's ghosts have like hitchhiked their way into your little car, and then at the end it's like, hurry back. Which they also included in several of the movies. Yeah. So when you're on the ride, it's just like you're just sitting in a chair that's being tracked through this house and you get to see all the spooky stuff. But it's very like fun. Like, it's more like the Muppets one where they're all like making jokes and having a fun time, or the end of the 2023 one. Whereas like most of the 2003 one and most of the 2023 one is a lot more like spooky, ominous, or it's supposed to be. Definitely, I think the 2003 one was supposed to be a comedy and just doesn't hit very well.
Yeah.
Whereas the 2023 one takes itself more seriously.
Yeah, there are quite a few comical moments in 2023, but the comedy in the 2003 one just really misses the mark.
Yeah.
The point I was going to make is we were talking about this while watching 2003 with Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
It was in production at the same time as Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, it came out a couple of months after Pirates of the Caribbean, which is also obviously based on a Disney ride.
Which did really well and made a great franchise, and then this one was just like,
yeah, it really didn't go very well.
It's, you know, you go back and you watch The Curse of the Black Pearl, and you're like, oh, the CGI isn't this, has aged pretty badly, you know, with it, like, it's not terrible, like, it was the best they could do at the time.
If I watch Curse of the Black Pearl now, in 2025, I still think that's a really cool movie.
Yeah, yeah. The CGI characters are okay, but then, like, the CGI moments, the horror moments in the 2003 one are awful. They're done terribly, the whatever way they've done it is a technique when you're doing 3D editing. Not that I'm an expert, I just watch people who are experts talk about it.
Yeah.
It's about the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of the issue originally when you see CGI characters and CGI parts and the lighting doesn't look right and they look sort of like overlaid, which they are, obviously. Yeah. But they don't feel like a part of the image. Which...
Yeah, you've got to really match your lighting on set to your lighting in your virtual set.
Yeah.
The Muppet version, by the way, the sets were almost exclusively digital.
Yeah.
There's like almost no practical sets happening in that movie at all.
And that's why it works.
But it doesn't work because they're not practical. But the non-practical set, the digital sets work because they're doing the lighting the same. Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's why it works. 2023 one, absolutely fantastic, right across the board.
Much more plot. The Muppet one doesn't have a plot, really. No. It kind of does.
Yeah, so let's go over the plots of the three movies.
Yeah.
Someone tries to deliver a real estate advertisement to the mansion, and then somehow the owner of the mansion thinks Eddie Murphy's wife is the rebirth, like reincarnation of his dead, whatever, fiance. And they're going on holiday because Eddie Murphy, which is that trope of the 90s movies, which is they're a terrible parent.
Yeah.
And always working, and he's like a workaholic.
Yeah.
And that's the reason his family doesn't like him. And she's the one that gets invited because obviously he doesn't want to bring the husband and the kids with them. So he can, like,
And they're both real estate agents that work together.
And they go to the mansion on their way because they think it's for sale. Because why else would you call a real estate agent to come look at a property?
Yeah.
It's totally not to, like, mind manipulate them into marrying you because you're a dead ghost. It's not normally what happens.
Yeah, not the usual.
Yeah, real estate agents into your home. Could be, don't want to, you know, kink shame. That's pretty much, and they were on their way on holiday because he works too much. And then you get the Muppets and they've, it's the disappearance of one of Gonzo's favorite magicians, and it's 100-year anniversary.
Yeah, it's the 100-year anniversary of the disappearance of his favorite magician.
Yeah.
Whose name is MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Who has a psychic called Red Herring.
Yeah.
Which is just like, I mean,
on the nose?
Yeah,
It's in your nose.
It's so self-aware that, like, almost all of the jokes are just about movie making.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, but I also don't know because, like, that the Muppet one of the three of them, the Muppet one is the most aimed at children, and I don't know if children are going to get all those references.
Yeah. I really think that a lot of kids' movies, the references in it are just for the adults, so the adults pay attention.
Yeah.
I think
what Muppets specifically as well, because, I mean, Muppet fans as a whole are mostly like my generation and older. And yes, there are younger people being introduced to Muppets, especially, I mean, Sesame Street is still around, so, you know. But the fans of like The Muppet Show and the original, you know, the older Muppet movies are all at least in their 30s, mostly older.
They're going to a party to celebrate it, and there's also another party. I don't understand they wanted to smash as many cameos of the other mainstream Muppets in. So Kermit and Piggy are dressed as each other and they're at a party.
Yeah, it's a Halloween party.
A Halloween party. Which makes sense now that you say that it was Halloween. For a haunted story, gotta mention.
It's literally a Halloween special. It's the Muppets' first Halloween special.
Yeah. And then the 2023 one has a great plot because it's, like, so layered.
It's so cool. And it makes so much sense because here's the big thing is, Eddie Murphy had a whole stand-up routine prior to The Haunted Mansion, about how black people wouldn't fall for horror movie stuff. Yeah. In that, like, you know, all the weird horror movie things happen because it's white people going, I guess, okay, that's fine. And the joke is that a black person would go, no, and get out. So it's ironic then that he's in this movie where he's in a haunted house and stays there.
Yeah.
And I think initially it's like, well, he seems really unfazed by what's happening. But then it's when he has the opportunity to get out, he realizes his wife is in danger and that's what's keeping him there.
Yeah.
But I like that in the 2023 one, it's Rosario Dawson, and she's a single mother, and her and her son move into this house, and then, or, you know, the son is scared and she tries to tell him, like, no, everything's fine, and then she sees the statue move and then she's like, no, never mind, let's get out of here. And the whole kind of plot then revolves around the fact that once you've stepped into this house, you can't leave without it drawing you back, because the ghosts will follow you and pull you back to the house. Not like necessarily physically, but yeah, you basically, once you've set foot in it, you have to come back to it. Because Lakeith Stanfield also, obviously, he's kind of our main character, but when he arrives, and he also wants to leave, and then we find out that's why the family has stayed, and that's why he has to stay. Ironically, he is in the movie Get Out, which is specifically about that concept. That if you put a African American protagonist in a horror movie, they're gonna say, "Nope, let's get out of here." and he's the one who delivers the line, "Get out," which is good. But yeah, so it's, I think that's kind of funny. Whereas then the Muppet one makes sense, because Gonzo, you know, it's throughout different Muppet movies, Gonzo is always the one who's like totally unfazed. Like there's the bit in Muppet Treasure Island where they're like stretching him, they're like, you know, they have him on a rack to torture him, and he's just like, "Ooh, yeah, keep going." So it's very much like, yep, Gonzo would just go into a haunted house and be like, "Ooh, scary, cool." Show me more.
It's very much like Pepe Le King Prawn is there to meet famous people. He can't get dates, which is a weird plot subline, which leads him to the bride in the end, which is a running character in all three of these movies. Because, like, basically the premise is that the house is really old, and therefore it's haunted by, like, multiple generations of, like, tragedies that have happened there.
Yeah.
Which is why you end up with all these unique characters. Have you seen the movie 13 Ghosts?
No.
Oh, okay. It's very similar on that line of, like, you know, you end up in a house full of ghosts, and the ghosts are all stuck there because they're ghosts.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
When we were watching the first one, the 2003 one, I was thinking at first, like, oh, we could probably compare this to Casper, which is also about, like, the family moving into a
haunted house.
But actually, it felt more like Beetlejuice then.
Yeah.
And then there is a cameo by Winona Ryder in the 2023 one, which I thought was funny, because I had been thinking that the first one had Beetlejuice vibes. I feel like the 2023 one almost feels like a heist movie in parts, when they're like planning out what they're going to do and deciding who their team is going
to
be.
It's hard to, like, 2023 movie is so good, I don't want to talk about it. Because it's so good, I want the audience to actually see the movie.
Yeah.
Don't watch the 2003 one.
No, don't.
It's like, here's my rundown of my top 10 moments that ruin the movie.
Okay.
Oh, the plot, the acting.
Hang on, those aren't moments.
You have the setup that the boy, the son in the family, is scared of spiders.
Yeah.
And he, of course, has to face his fears later in the movie to save his family.
Yeah.
The kids are just obnoxious for no reason. Like, that's just how they're written. Eddie Murphy's character is basically, he's nothing. He's just a real estate agent. Like, he's got no redeeming quality. He's not a good parent.
He's not a good husband.
He's not a good husband.
He's not a good person.
Yeah.
He's not nice. He's not likable. He
constantly lies to people.
Yeah.
For his own, like, gains. Even when his wife, like, in the beginning of the movie with the whole setup, like, he's showing some people around a house, and his wife rings him to talk about their anniversary, and she's obviously getting ready to go to their, like, their dinner or whatever they're doing, date night anniversary thing. And he's wording his responses in a way where it sounds like someone else is coming to buy the house.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, so used to this, she's just going along with it.
Yeah.
So it tricks the other people to buying into the property.
Yeah.
You know, back before 2008, you know, the housing market was good and people could afford to buy stuff. Even if they volunteered part-time at an animal rescue to breed salamanders and their budget was $2.5 million.
I mean, if your budget is $2.5 million, you can afford a house even now.
Yeah. My point being, terrible person isn't redeemed through the trials of the movie, which is a lot of, like, what we see in these movies where people are terrible and, like, you know, not really caring about their family, and then their family's thrown into something, and then they, like, redeem themselves by saving their family and not being a selfish
piece of work. Yeah, I mean, he does save his... Well, he kind of does. Not really.
Yeah. He sends... He's fighting zombies, and he not because of something, he drops the key into water.
And then makes his daughter go down.
And then makes his, like, preteen daughter...
I think she's supposed to be 13.
Okay.
But the actress was 11.
So his teenage daughter goes swimming around in a moat, like, filled with, like, rubble... And as we discover when they jump out at her,
zombies.
Like, terrible parents. And, like, what, he, like, slap fights one zombie?
Mm.
Like, that's his, like, moment of, like, holding the line?
Yeah.
As his son's left outside in a graveyard? Well,
here's... I was trying to pinpoint it. There is a moment that's supposed to be him redeeming himself.
Which part is it?
And it's when he drives the car into the building. Because at the beginning of the movie... he's really precious about the car more so than he is about the family, and he's, like, being strict with the kids about the car and not wanting to get the car muddy and not wanting to get scratches on the car or whatever. And then at the end of the movie, he, to get back into the building, he drives the car into the building and destroys the car to save his wife. And that's supposed to be the redeeming
right
moment.
So that's the moment where he chose that his car was equal to his wife.
His car was less than his wife.
Yeah.
he only chose that right at the end.
The actual run of the movie feels like it's an escape room rather than a, like, obviously Pirates of the Caribbean and the ride are completely different. I've never been on the ride, haven't been to any Disneyland. Obviously, there was, like, a whole thing made about it where it's just, like, a movie based on the ride. But it feels more like an experience you pay for. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to places and listening to instructions to go get other places so people in costume can jump out at them and scare them.
Right.
So they can escape to go back to get more instructions.
Yeah, and that's, like, not Jennifer, what the
Tilly,
ride is.
Jennifer Tilly is, like, the head and the ball.
Yeah, yeah. So in the ride, you just, like, go in a circle around her in that seance room.
Yeah.
And she just, like, tells you spooky stuff. Or sometimes you sit for an hour in that room while she tells you over and over again in French that the ride is broken down. Which is my prevailing memory of that medium character. is sitting, and then it finally moves and you all cheer, and then it stops about 2 feet forward and you all have to sit in the room and listen to the crazy French lady talking about seances and then interrupting herself to tell you the ride is broken down and will be fixed shortly, and you've been there for over an hour and you're wondering will you ever leave or are you trapped in the haunted house?
Did you die in real life?
Yeah, maybe.
If you die in Disney, you die in real life.
Unfortunately, yes.
What is that in French?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Le haunted, le mansion is kaput.
I like how you switched to German in the middle of that.
I couldn't remember what
is this kaput?
Yeah, couldn't remember what the French for broken was.
Yeah, because she keeps telling you, I mean, this is while you're stuck in there for an hour with her, she keeps telling you not to get off the ride because you may sustain injuries.
Yeah.
Because it is, you're just, like, sitting in this chair on a conveyor belt. So, people do want to get up and just walk out of there if you're stuck there for a long time.
But then,
if it starts moving again, it's going to be a problem.
I had that rant at work the other day because someone was talking about the... You remember that flight We have,
I was going to say Oceanic, Flight 815.
No, unrelated to Lost, which we're currently binge-watching.
And also, there's a character from Lost that is in one of these movies.
Correct. No, I was going to say our recent travels and that horrible tragedy where the people were terribly hurt on the plane with a terrible turbulence. But it is very much of like people need to be constantly reminded they can't leave their seats, because I remember that every single time we've flown for like 10 plus hours, it's like, oh, you know, the whole plane starts wobbling and like the seatbelt sign goes on. And then for some reason, like a very large percentage who were seated previously
just stand up like, for no reason.
Yeah, I'm just going to stand up and rummage around in the overhead locker. It's like, this is why people get injured during turbulence. Yeah. It's like, oh, I've been sitting here perfectly calm for like 6 hours.
Just sit and keep your seatbelt on.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, the turbulence is now the time I've decided I'm going for a walk around the entire length of the freaking aisle. Well,
people do try to do that on these rides, and then they do, you can end up getting very horrifically injured. So, for any
stay
kids,
in your seats.
Yeah, any
keep
kids
your
listening,
arms and feet and head inside the
absolutely.
Ride at all times.
And if you're on a little boat ride, like It's a Small World or Pirates of the Caribbean,
don't drink the water.
Well, the reason they say to keep your hands and arms inside is because your boat is not just sailing; it's on like a track of these horrible, like metallic stuff. And if you put your hand down there, you may lose some fingers. So listen to your parents and listen to the ride instructors when they say keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle.
I would say listen to the instructors and not your parents, because they'd be like, yeah, do it.
Put your hands down. But don't listen to your parents if they're telling you to injure yourself. That's bad.
Yeah. That's a plot of a different movie. On safety, the health and safety notification has gone away. Please continue the podcast after this.
The Muppet one also feels a little escape room, but they're not like trying to get, it's, they're not like solving puzzles to escape, but it's just that they have to escape. Yeah. But that's because,
I thought they had to survive the night.
Yeah, they have to survive the night and get
win the money.
And get out. Well, there's no money.
Yeah.
It's because it is all conceived of by this magician guy.
Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will Arnett.
With a fish
so, I mean, that's
pocket.
You've just spoiled it, because it's not because he's in the movie for a long time before it's revealed that he was the magician all along.
I said spoilers at the beginning of
this. That's true, that's true. You did say spoilers.
It came out 4 years ago.
Oh my god, it did.
Yeah.
Okay. I really like the 2023 one. I found it very enjoyable. The Muppet one is higher rated. I think it's because it's a different ball game. It's because the Muppet one is less than an hour long, and it's a Halloween special, and it's very fun, and it's just like does what it says on the tin.
Yeah,
has all the references to the ride. Yeah. Has some fun Muppet jokes.
If you have kids running around and you're trying to make lunch at like in October, you know, you can just put that on.
I mean,
your kids
I'm
watch
sure
it.
I haven't talked to him about it, but I'm sure my older brother loved that movie, because he loves the Muppets and he loves the Haunted Mansion.
Mm.
And it's just like, here's everything you want from Muppets, here's everything you want from Haunted Mansion. Enjoy. You know.
You're Lisa's older brother, you can go to our website. It takes two.co.nz. You can join our mailing list. Or join our Discord and tell us in person if you've seen these movies, ridden on these rides, or have been trapped in an escape room while a French lady tells you not to.
That wasn't an escape room. That
I know,
was just the Haunted
saying.
Mansion. Yeah, I have definitely. I'm sure I've been trapped in other parts of that ride, but I very much, very much remember being trapped in the room with the medium while she kept talking to me in French. It takes a long time, and you're just sitting there, and you can only have like two, or maybe if your kid's like three people to a car. So then, like, you're only there with like half your family, and you're like the others are like behind you, but you're not allowed to lean out to look at them. They're just like stuck there. You can shout at each other, but then all the French people get mad at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's still lots of nods to the ride in the 2023 one, even though it has a plot.
Yeah.
The
plot of the 23 one is so layered. It is fantastic. The cast is insane.
Yeah.
It's really well made. There is, I can't throw any criticism at it. It is a great movie. The plot is slightly different, which makes it better.
Do you know what's really annoying? There is one bit of criticism we had before we watched the movie.
Oh, the fact that Jared Leto is in it?
Yeah, but it's actually, I really like the character. And I was like, oh, I wish that it wasn't Jared Leto. But, like, you don't really get to see his face. Yeah. And he does a voice. And actually, I really enjoyed that villain.
So
maybe I'd enjoy him more if it wasn't Jared Leto. But
so
like,
let's go over the to accept Jared Leto as a character.
You must not see his him voice or hear him.
See him, can't hear him.
Cool. He should be decapitated.
Yeah.
No, I genuinely like the character. I'll tell you what's upsetting to me about it. But it would have been a totally different movie, and I really like what they did, and I really like the rest of the cast, so I don't begrudge this having happened. But this was originally supposed to be a Guillermo del Toro movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think it would have been PG-13.
No, it would not have been PG-13. And the Hatbox Ghost, who was played by Jared Leto, was supposed to be Doug Jones.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Who would have been
absolutely fantastic.
So perfect.
Yeah.
And if there's only one thing they were going to keep from a Guillermo del Toro version of this, it should have been that Doug Jones is still the Hatbox Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would have been, that would have made this movie, would have just elevated it to a different level, I think. I mean, this is going to sound strange, especially if you haven't seen the movie, but I think this is a weirdly, as a like spooky Halloween movie, this is a really good movie to watch with your kids to explain grief.
Yeah.
Because, and again, spoiler alert, we don't want to spoil the movie too much, but our main character, played by Lakeith Stanfield, you discover, I'm not going to say the specifics, but you discover that he is dealing with grief.
Yeah.
And then you also find out that the small child in the movie has been dealing with grief.
Yeah.
And neither of them have been handling the grief very well. And through working with each other and actually like talking through it, they actually both land at a more healthy place with their journey with grief. And I think That's the least spoilery I can say that while still saying what happens.
Yeah.
And I think it's done really well, and I think it's done in a way that really, I think, is easy to understand for someone who's, say, like, aged 4 to 12 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like if you want to... I mean, there's other things that obviously... There's other kids' movies that deal with grief as well. But this is definitely... That was something that I took away for this movie that I thought, wow, this would be a really good movie. While still being fun, but also spooky and Halloween-y and whatever, has this message around grief that is digestible for people for a young audience.
Yeah, it's definitely that's one of the major, like, yeah, because obviously you've just got sort of, with the Muppets one, they're obviously just Muppets. They are the Muppet. They're in a situation.
And there is a whole thing in that with Gonzo that, like, you know, there's a message for kids in there in that to survive the night in the haunted house, to get out, you have to face your own fear. And the concept of Gonzo the Great being, you know, this character who's done all these big daring feats and never felt scared. And then it's him confronting, like, actually, I'm afraid of being alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm afraid of losing my friends. I'm afraid that I'm not good enough if I'm not doing great things, and then dealing with that. And it's kind of throwaway to some extent,
yeah.
But like they have tried to package that little message in there to be like, hey, it's okay to just be you. And also it's okay to be scared, and actually accepting your fear and live and, you know, learning to live with it is healthy. So there is a message in that one as well, but it's very contained in like 3 minutes of the movie, and the rest of it is just silly Muppet antics.
It's definitely, it goes from that, the 2003 one, from the point of view of said ghost, which the main like haunting flows around of just this, you know, person who lost their fiance, and because of that couldn't live anymore. And that being like the catalyst to, you know, try and seduce the wife, which is a little Rocky Horror picture show.
Hmm.
and sort of you're dealing with like that kind of aspect of it. And, you know, there is that sort of trope of like, you know, Eddie Murphy being a terrible husband. So, you know, it's not quite all there.
Yeah.
And then I think the other side of that for the Muppet version is one of the characters we haven't really touched on much, of like their aspect and role in the movie is, and why they fall for the bride, which is a Black Widow-esque character, who is in all three of them. I'm pretty sure they're in all three.
I think briefly in the first one, but definitely
very briefly, but definitely like a main core part of like trying to marry.
Yeah, very, very, very large role in Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And a decent role in the 2023 one as well.
And you sort of look at the, like, the, you know, one person's dealing with grief, the other person's dealing with loneliness. Mm. You know, it's very, there is a, like, a core, like, splattering of, like, actual human emotion.
Yeah.
Mixed into these horror movies and movies with Muppets in them.
Yeah. I don't know that
the most human emotion came from the Muppet actor.
Yeah, I don't know that you... I mean, that's true, though. Do you know what's really sad? And this this is going to make everyone sad, I think. And it's kind of a trivia thing, but like it's relevant to why we're talking about it now. That's really... The scene where Gonzo is afraid of losing all of his friends...
Yeah.
...is like 10 times more upsetting... when you consider the fact that Gonzo is portrayed by Dave Goles, who is the last remaining member of the original Muppet cast.
Oh, wow.
And that all of the rest of them are no longer... Either passed away or no longer performing those Muppets. Because obviously Frank Oz is still with us, I believe. Yeah. but is, you know, he's doing other things generally. But like of Jim Henson's original... Muppet performers, it's just Dave Goles left. So he has watched his friends all go.
Yeah.
and him as Gonzo is the last of this. So that's sad. Yeah. It's also interesting because it's the first, Muppet movie with Gonzo as a lead character in 22 years, because the previous one was Muppets from Space.
Yeah.
Which was also... We've done an episode on this one, but it was also about Gonzo dealing with feeling alone. And in that one, like, he was feeling alone even when surrounded by friends because he didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And he went on, like, a, you know, kind of a journey of self-meaning and self-acceptance. So it's interesting that they're, you know, 22 years later, they're saying, hey, he's kind of accepted himself and all this, but he still has that underlying fear of losing these people and being alone. So that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Anyway. yeah, I'd say if people should watch the Muppet one, but just know what, like, don't expect more of it than what it is. You know what I mean? It's a fun, silly Muppet Halloween special. And I love that they did a Halloween special, and I think it's fun that they, you know, they really, for people who are fans of Disney and like the Disney parks and the Haunted Mansion, they're hitting all the notes you want them to hit with the actual, you know, bringing in aspects of the ride, bringing in aspects of the queue, having the stretching portraits, the singing busts, the people, the ghosts dancing in the ballroom, whatever, and bringing a Muppet flair to all of them. And I think that's cool. I think that they did things in a really cool way for the 2023 one as well, in terms of bringing aspects of the ride into it. So, for example, those stretching portraits, when they stretch, the things that are, like, dangerous in them actually appear in the room. So there's the dynamite and the alligator and the, you know... all the quicksand, all of the stuff is actually physically happening in the room they're in. So like elevating that to another level. They don't have the singing busts, which I suspected early on. I was like, this movie is taking itself way too seriously to suddenly have singing busts in it. I was still hopeful when we got to the end and, like, things were a bit more upbeat that we might get them, but sadly not. But they appear in the other two movies, you know, and they're fun.
There's also an appearance, again, of the road, which apparently is a real road. We haven't looked into the real road. It's, like, a two-lane setup, but it's, like, over the bayou, the swampy area.
Yeah.
It's set in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, two different roads, like, on, like, basically, like, permanent bridges.
Yeah.
The ending of, like...
The ending with the
CGI car.
I was going to say, the ending of the 2003 movie felt like the ending of Grease.
Yeah.
Where they just get in the car and fly away. And you're like, wait, what? And I know they are just driving away, but they're driving away in, like, along these roads, except it's like a weird CGI and there's nothing on it. There's no city they're going to. There's no actual swamp in the bayou or whatever. It's just like...
It's just water.
There's no wetland. It's just water and
there's no other
and
cars.
An endless bridge.
Yeah.
And it's a bit strange.
It's almost
like, did they die?
Yeah. Are they going to the afterlife? Is this what this imagery is about? Do you want to get into some trivia, or do you want to cover off anything? Because, like, you know, the only thing I can cover off is watch the 2023 one.
Yeah, I would watch the 2023 one again.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think I'm a fan of Lakeith Stanfield.
100% we are.
I always try to recommend people, not to kids, absolutely not to kids, to watch... Sorry to Bother You, which is a movie starring Lakeith Stanfield that is just... an incredible movie, but extremely weird.
Yeah.
So if you watch it, be warned, and definitely not suitable for children. It goes to some strange places. But kids, you can look forward to that when you're all grown up and you can watch weird horror-esque movies by yourself.
Yeah, it's the Lisa equivalent of Let's Watch Ralph Bakshi's Wizards for
me. Yeah. I have got budget and box office info for the first and last ones of these. The Muppet one was just released on Disney Plus as a special and I couldn't find a budget for it either. Then the 2003 one had a budget of $90 million and a box made $182 million at box office. So a success, but not nearly as much of a success as Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And the 2023 one, sadly, it had a budget of $150 million and only made $117 million at box office.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
But then it went on to streaming platforms.
Yeah, it did go on to streaming platforms. That's also, because it is Disney as well.
Yeah.
So it also got a big release on Disney Plus. So, I don't know. I haven't taken lots of notes. One of the notes that I took for two different movies is that Eddie Murphy was invited back to make a cameo appearance in the 2023 movie.
Right.
But they turned him down because he said he would only do it for $500,000 for one day's work.
Right.
So they were like, no, sorry, Eddie, we're not going to do that.
I can't remember the last time he genuinely made, like, a movie that was, like, relevant.
Shrek.
Okay, yep.
It's just the Shrek movies. That's all he's been doing. The busts, the singing busts in the 2003 one are performed by the Dapper Dans, who are a barbershop quartet that perform in Disneyland California's Main Street USA, which I thought was fun because in the original ride, they're performed by a group called the Mellow Men, who also used to do that in Disney.
Yeah.
And were involved in, like, we're recorded for a few different Disney attractions, not necessarily rides, but, like, different things in the Disney parks. One of the guys in the Mellow Men is my boy Thurl Ravenscroft, who I think has the greatest voice and name, who sang You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and also voiced Tony the Tiger for like 50 years. The Paris Haunted Mansion is called Phantom Manor, by the way. And that was where much of the plot came from for the 2003 one.
Yeah.
I've already mentioned Eddie Murphy's stand-up routine about about how black people would just leave as soon as they saw anything supernatural. Apparently one of the singing busts was made to look like Thurl Ravenscroft, so I thought that was kind of cool. And another one of the busts is made to look like Paul Frees, who is the guy who narrates the ride in the English versions.
Right.
And then the only other thing I took down from that movie was about the kids. So Mark John Jeffries, who plays Michael, who's supposed to be 10 years old in the movie, was actually a year older than Ari Davis, who plays Megan, who is supposed to be 3 years older than him.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting. For the Muppet one, it's, as I mentioned, the first ever Halloween special by the Muppets. They've done lots of Christmas specials, but they've never done a Halloween one before. Actually, I've already talked about lots of these. The physical, so there was very few physical sets for it. It was CGI sets, and the Muppets actors were filmed against, they were filmed against the CGI sets in an LED dome known as The Volume, which is technology that was created for and pioneered on The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I've already talked about this as well, which is about how Dave Goltz was the last of Jim Henson's players still performing The Muppets, which is sad. And for the 2023 one, I didn't really have a lot of stuff. So the only other thing to add was that the Gracie Manor, which is the main manor, the one that's in New Orleans, was based on the original Disneyland Haunted Mansion in California, which I mentioned before, but also the Crump Manor, which is the one they go to towards the end of the movie to retrieve something that's going to help them. It was modeled after the one in Florida, the Magic Kingdom Haunted Mansion.
That's fun.
So I think that's interesting. Also, Gracie, and the characters are called the Gracies in the 2003 one and the 2023 one. That's because it is called, I believe it's called Gracie Manor in one of the parks.
Right.
And the reason for that is that one of the Disney Imagineers who helped design it and who actually pioneered that Pepper's Ghost technique, the modernized Pepper's Ghost, his name was Grace, his last name was Gracie, and then one of the other Imagineers who worked on it was Crump, so they named both manors after
That's cool.
guys who actually helped design the original Haunted Mansion.
That's very cool.
Yeah. That's all my little facts that I wanted to talk about.
What do we normally do at this bit?
we say thank you for listening. Oh, yeah, we tell right. people they can, as you already mentioned earlier on, they can go on our website, ittakes2.co.nz. They can find us on social media. They can join our Discord. They can join our mailing list, which is infrequent because there's not very many people on the mailing list.
And not a lot happens.
And not a lot of news.
Yeah, unless we bulk record because we're going on holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for this. This is a Halloween episode.
Yeah, this is a Spooktober special.
Spooky.
It's episode 110.
I'm so confused about what time of the year it is because there's already Christmas stuff up, even though it's September.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Spoilers, it's September, folks. It's not It'll October yet.
It'll be October.
There's Christmas stuff.
It'll be October when you're listening to this, at the very least.
Yeah.
So we'll have one more Halloween episode.
That's fun.
And then we'll be into our November. And then into Christmas, yay!
Yay, Hallmark!
We love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.